Let's just pray together. At the cross, we surrender our lives. Lord, we are in awe of you. Where your love ran red and our sin washed white, we owe all to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray that your word would speak to us this evening. In the written word, we would meet with you, the living word. Amen. Now, they say that the last two parts of our lives to be changed when we become a Christian are the way we drive and what we do with our money. So I wonder how you're doing in those two areas. Today we've been focusing on the second of these, what we do with our money. As Will said this morning, it's not easy either to preach a sermon or in fact to listen to a sermon that's about giving. It can upset people as money is such a private thing. But Jesus said more about money than he did about prayer. And he is, of course, interested in every area of our lives. This morning, as James said, Will talked about the woman who gave a little in Mark 12, the widow who put a couple of coins into the temple collection, but in Jesus' eyes had given more than anyone else because it represented all that she had to live on. So we had the woman who gave a little this morning, and this evening, the woman who gave a lot. Or as I was thinking it, the woman who gave a little and the woman who gave a lottle. This kind of goes. So I found this. I like you a lottle. It's like a little except a lot. I like that. The background to this story, you can take that away now. Thanks, John. Lest it distract. The background to this story is that it is 6 days before the Passover. It's the beginning of the final week of Jesus' life. At the end of chapter 11, things have been hotting up and getting much more dangerous. The chief priests and the Pharisees are now actively plotting to kill Jesus. And so we read in verse 54 of chapter 11 that Jesus stopped moving about publicly among the Jews and he withdrew from Jerusalem to a village called Ephraim, about 10 miles from Jerusalem. And as the Passover draws near, many thousands of Jews are starting to make their way, their pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And 6 days before the Passover is to start, we find that Jesus too is moving back towards Jerusalem himself. And he's back in Bethany, which is 2 miles from Jerusalem. And it's here that a beautiful thing is done to Jesus by this woman. And that's how Mark describes it. And Jesus says that wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. I wonder what you would want to be remembered for. I've got a little slide up here. Next one, John. This is the St. Nick's team that entered the pancake race on Tuesday. We've got Tommy Cooper on the right. And Ben Norman was one of the people who ran in the St. Nick's team. And he was awarded Best Tosser of the Year award. Perhaps he would like to be remembered for that, or maybe not. Maybe you'd like to be remembered as being a good friend, a man or a woman of faith, or someone who made a difference in your workplace, or perhaps that you've been just a great dad. J.K. Rowling has said, I would like to be remembered as someone who did the best she could with the talent she had. And Gore Vidal, an American writer and intellectual, he said, anybody who is stupid enough to want to be remembered deserves to be forgotten right now. I did have to do an exercise once of what I would like written on my tombstone, which is an interesting exercise of how you want to be remembered. Jesus said that this woman will be remembered for her beautiful action as his life neared its end when she anointed his feet using an expensive perfume and then wiped his feet with her hair. So we are part of that tonight as we remember her gift to Jesus at what is to be the start of the final week of his life. And it's a week that we're now going to be following through in the book of John over the next few weeks as Easter approaches. It's John who names this woman. The other gospel writers do not. This is Mary of Bethany, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And we know, if you turn chapter 11 to verse 5, it says, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus." We know that all three of them were loved by Jesus. And so as we look at the woman who gave a lot, the first thing we see about Mary is that her giving came out of a relationship. Her giving came out of relationship. We know that Mary and her brother and sister Lazarus and Martha had an ongoing relationship with Jesus. Their home in Bethany was one where he retreated, where he was looked after by them. And it seems right that as Jesus enters the last week of his life, he spends time somewhere where he can be encouraged and supported despite some danger in being there. These were his great friends. On the three occasions in the Gospels when we read of Mary and Jesus, she's either sitting at his feet, falling at his feet, or anointing his feet. Mary's actions don't always go down well with her sister Martha. They seem really different characters. Martha is organized and practical. She runs a household. She serves others. She gets meals ready. While Mary seems to have different priorities, probably what my mum might have called a bit of a dream. And in Luke 10, she winds her sister up by sitting at Jesus' feet and just listening to him while Martha is scurrying around getting everything ready. And then there's the day when their brother Lazarus becomes ill and the sisters send word to Jesus. Lazarus dies before Jesus gets there. And Mary's first words to Jesus when she sees him as she falls at his feet on that occasion are, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." So we see there she's got absolute confidence in Jesus that he was able to save her brother's life. But she also knows that he didn't come to them immediately. And that so she's telling him off a bit. "Why didn't you come straight away, Lord, when we needed you?" Her relationship with Jesus has this mix of faith and honesty. She expresses her pain that he didn't come as soon as he knew Lazarus was ill. Mary's devotion to Jesus begins at his feet. Her giving comes from a relationship with him. And that relationship then shapes her giving. So before we even think about giving, like Mary, our priority is to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to what he has to say to you and me. We don't give because we ought to. That's not generosity. We give because we cannot help it, because we have a relationship with Jesus that has changed our lives by the love that first loved us. At the Talking Jesus Lent course on Thursday, we thought about the fact that the most important question to answer in life is, who do you say that Jesus is? Here at St. Nick's, we would say that we want everyone to have a way of thinking about that question and the opportunity to enter into a relationship with Jesus. So do not worry about your giving to this church for one moment if that isn't resolved in your life. 2 weeks ago, Steve told the story of his faith journey, and the one thing he wanted to leave with us all was that Christianity isn't about rules or being religious, but about a relationship with Jesus. And that was the basis for all that Mary gave to Jesus. Her giving came out of relationship. And then because of that relationship, her giving, secondly, came out of thankfulness. At the beginning of chapter 12, Jesus is once more with Martha, Lazarus, and Mary. Lazarus, you may know, died and was raised back to life again by Jesus in the previous chapter. Have a read through of it if you're not familiar with it. And so this dinner is to honour Jesus for what he has done. And not surprisingly, along with Jesus, the family have attracted a good deal of attention. Good attention because many people have come to faith in Jesus because of what's happened. But also attention for bad, in that the religious authorities are now keen to kill Lazarus and Jesus because so many are putting their faith in Jesus through Lazarus. Lazarus is reclining at the table. Martha, true to form, is serving, while Mary, equally true to form, is not helping her sister, but focused on Jesus. There must be an air of celebration. Lazarus is alive. He's a symbol of all that Jesus stands for and the authority that Jesus has even over death. And Jesus had brought Lazarus back to Mary, and she's full of thankfulness for what he's done. Yet Mary, of everyone, seems to realise that there are dark clouds looming, and somehow, in giving Lazarus his life back, Jesus would lose his own. This is a great contrast between the meal that began John's Gospel, which was a wedding. The mood there is full of anticipation and excitement, but now here, the talk is about Jesus not always being with them, and of burial rather than new life. And in this swirl of mixed emotions, Mary comes to anoint Jesus' feet. Her actions break into the warmth and the friendliness of that meal. Now, it's always been a bit of a mystery to me how Jesus is reclining at the table, having a meal, and how can she get to his feet? And so it's kind of helpful, this next slide, just this is how meals were, and so how they're reclining. So you can see that their heads are towards the table and their feet are kind of around the edge. And their heads are close to the central table where the food is laid. So Mary comes up behind Jesus and she breaks open a jar of perfume and anoints his feet. Now, in here, which you might like to pass around, this just gives you an idea of the smell of nard. So do you want to have a little sniff, pass it round? And she comes in devotion and thankfulness to Jesus. I found this a bit of a challenge because it's made me think, what motivates my giving to Jesus? Is it something I feel I ought to do? Or is it simply an expression of how thankful I am for all he has done for me? Our giving is a response to what he has done for the journey to Jerusalem that he is about to embark on for you and for me will end in his death so that we can have the free gift of salvation. We are saved only by his grace, and so all we can do is be thankful and give back to him all that we are and all that we possess. We give out of our thankfulness. We do not give because we want to earn brownie points with God or because we're bargaining with him in some way. You have to bless me, Lord, because I am faithful in my giving to you. Or if I'm generous to you, Lord, I jolly well expect you to be generous to me back. We give not because we want God to do something, but because of what he has already done. And so to me, that means holding ever before me just what God has done for us in Jesus and allowing it to grow deeper in me and strike me afresh and cause me to be more and more thankful. We give out of gratitude, and of course we give all sorts of things. We give our money. We're grateful today, as James has said, for the provision of the past year. But many people here at St. Nick's also give in other ways, just as Mary did. She doesn't just give Jesus what she has, she also gives of herself. She gives him her time, she puts other demands aside and chooses to care for him. It's a generous gift to give people time in the name of Jesus, to show them his love and care, to not be hurried, and so to give them the message that they really matter. Mary also gives Jesus her full attention. Have you experienced someone being present, but in fact absent at the same time? My dad used to sit at meal tables totally in another world as his work took over his headspace. It's easy to be in the same space with someone today, but not really with them, as you each spend more time looking on your phones than looking at each other. Mary gives her attention to Jesus. She focuses on him, anoints his feet, wipes them with her hair. gives real care and attentiveness. And we give to Jesus by being with people that he loves, by serving them, by offering not just time, but attention too, using our gifts to build each other up and to tell the good news to those who don't yet know it. In this way, we come to understand people's needs and where they need encouragement. Mary seems to know that Jesus needed this beautiful act. Her gift of time and attention is another expression of the love she has for Jesus and the thankfulness from which her giving comes. So her giving came out of relationship, it came out of thankfulness, and finally it came out of sacrifice. The question for us is not how much of our money we should give away, but how much of God's money we should keep. Mary gave Jesus a gift that was very costly. She used a pint of pure nard, a fragrant oil of the nard plant that came from India, and it's that heavy, sweet, woody, spicy smell. And that pint was worth a year's salary. Today, the average year's salary is £27,000. So in that moment, she poured onto Jesus' feet something of enormous value. It may well have even been a family heirloom or their inheritance. But its value was massive, and it's all gone. And that's in a society where poverty was all around them, with starvation a real possibility for many households. It may have been her insurance for the future, but she poured it over Jesus' feet. She gave out of great sacrifice. She was generous, even reckless. But in this way, she reflected the extravagance and the generosity of Jesus, who himself had loads of leftovers when he fed 5,000 people on a hillside. And when a wedding ran out of wine, he created 700 bottles of the best. Your wedding was good, but we didn't have 700 bottles of the best. Probably good job. God's generosity is amazing. The ultimate being to have given us Jesus. Mary gave a gift to Jesus that cost her a lot, but she knew what mattered. She had lost and had returned to her brother Lazarus, and she knew that Jesus would soon die and had a greater need for the nard than she did. It was a perfume known for its calming qualities and used as a way to reduce anxiety. And so she gave this costly gift to Jesus out of her faith and love for him. The world says that we are what we own. What we own tells a story about the kind of person we are, the aspirations that we have, what we value. To give away what we have, to give to God's work regularly, goes against the culture of our day. We're saying in this concrete way that we believe that everything comes from God, that we're called to share what we have, and that we trust him with our lives. In 2 Samuel, King David insists that there must be a cost to him in bringing his offering to the Lord. He says, "I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing." So too, Mary's giving came out of sacrifice. She would never again have the security of that pint of nard sat on her shelf for a rainy day. It was gone. But her giving also came out of sacrifice in other kinds of ways. She had to get down in the dirt and the dust and take on the position of a servant. Like her, if we're generous, it may mean having less for ourselves, being less comfortable. Our giving may be about our support of others when we might rather sit at home of an evening and watch TV. Mary also sacrificed something of her reputation. She did a shocking thing in her time, untying her hair, letting it loose in public, and then using it to wipe Jesus' feet. It would have brought a gasp among the respectable people there. And Mary's action out of her love for Jesus sets off a whole load of reactions in the room. And probably the air of celebration that the meal started with is now full of tension. There may have been tension between the sisters again. Martha left serving and the family's money gone. There's opposition from Judas, who thinks that what Mary has done has simply been a waste, and it's money that could have benefited a good deal of poor people. Mary didn't care about the criticism or her own reputation. She just generously gave of herself, and there's an encouragement for us to do the same. To follow her example, to live more generously, and so reflect the generous God that we have. We too may be seen as crazy by the world around us for giving money sacrificially, such that it impacts on what we can do with our lives, perhaps the holiday that we can have. Or if our commitment to a good cause limits our social life, or it might be seen as a waste of a good career to give it up to follow where God is leading. Only Jesus sticks up for Mary, that the costly gift of her perfume had been given at the right time, heightening the tension even further. He talks of his burial. Her act of love is a prophetic statement about the fact that before too long, Jesus is going to die and be buried so hastily that there is no time for proper anointing. So it's right that it's been done now. Where do you stand? Are you with the shameless Mary, worshipping Jesus with everything she has, risking the disapproval of those around? Or are you with the cautious, reliable Judas, as he must have appeared at the time, wanting to provide for the group's needs and still have something left to give to the poor? Big, extravagant gestures can sometimes be about someone's ego. But may we not become so balanced and respectable that we're unwilling to take risks? I find it's quite easy to identify with Judas's caution, wanting to have all our bases covered. But may we not lose touch with the extravagance of a heart like Mary's, who gave out of her love for Jesus, her thankfulness for all he had done for her, and thought nothing of the sacrifice she made. John, writing his gospel 40 or 50 years later, with the benefit of hindsight, knows that Judas went on to betray Jesus. And he knows what he did not see at the time, that Mary did do a beautiful and prophetic thing for Jesus, that it was intended to prepare his body for his burial. For exactly 6 days later, Jesus' body would lie in the cool of a tomb in a Jerusalem garden. I expect that for all those who were there, the smell of nard that had filled the house that day would always and forever take them back to that meal. Mary had seen the shadow of the cross and gave everything for her friend who would give his life for her. And so may we too come in response to Jesus' death on the cross and give to him because we know him and all that he has done for us, because we are so thankful and because no sacrifice we can make will ever be enough. And that means giving of our time and attention and our energy, giving up our reputation, using our skills for God's purposes in the world. And yes, giving our money too. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this beautiful thing that Mary did for you that day. And we remember it today, all these years on. And so may we too give out of our love for you, give out of our thankful hearts, and give in a way that costs. Lord, help us not to be afraid. Help us to trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.